Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Returning to our story, returning to Northern Ireland, where the revolt in the DUP has left the future of the Assembly hanging in the balance once again. The party is tasked with finding a new leader, but issues around the Irish language remain, with Downing Street this afternoon reaffirming its commitment to progress the legislation regardless of the outcome in Belfast. So what does this mean for unionism, and what steps can be taken by the next leader of the DUP to carve out a way out of this deadlock? In a moment we'll hear from Tory MP Simon Hoare, who's chairman of the Northern Ireland Select Committee at Westminster, and Alex Kane, Belfast-based commentator and former director of communications with the Ulster Unionist Party. But first I want you to listen to this. Here's what people on the streets of East Belfast had to say to the BBC, BBC Northern Ireland, earlier today.
I just think they should wise up and just get together and think of the people that vote for them and do what's right.
Did you think Mr. Poots had to go?
Yep.
Why?
He wasn't the right man for to lead the party.
I always said, what goes around comes around. And I don't know who, as I say, Geoffrey Donaldson is my man.
And would you ordinarily be a DUP voter?
That's right, yeah.
And what would your message be to the party that's currently in crisis?
Well, there's not a lot to get say to them. They're in a shambles from top to bottom. That's all I can say to you.
What do you think of the row inside the DUP at the minute?
They're acting like children. I know people my age who could run the country better.
Just get them all out. Don't care about them, don't like them, done me no good, done my mates no good, done the country no good. That's about it.
What would your message be to the DUP then as they try to get out of this crisis? What should they do to please somebody like you?
Leave.
Wow, they are people in East Belfast speaking to BBC Northern Ireland. Simon Hoare, Alex Kane, you're both very welcome to the programme. I'll turn to you, Alex
Thank
Kane,
you.
First of all, since you're in Belfast. Wise up, think of the people, shambles, acting like children, get them out. I'd hate to be the new leader of the DUP.
Yeah, hi Cormac, yes, and I can stand over that because I live in East Belfast. I hear that, I've heard that comment many a time in the past few weeks in particular. But yes, whoever takes over the DUP, it's a multiplicity of challenges because there's now a section of loyalism, with particularly younger loyalism, and worryingly, this is a loyalism which is post-1990 agreement. Mm-hmm. So many of them are late teens, early 20s, have no experience of the Troubles, but a lot of these people seem quite keen to bring not simply the Assembly down, they want to bring the whole structures of the Good Friday Agreement down. He is the older hands of the Loyalist Communities Council, which is the three paramilitary groups which signed up to the agreement, have withdrawn their support from it. The Orange Order, which has withdrawn its support from the Good Friday Agreement as well. So whoever comes in as leader of the DUP has somehow, if he's serious about keeping the Assembly going, is to convince this wide range, this desperate wide range of voices that the Assembly's worth keeping. And what a number of those people said in that Vox Pop, you heard that, absolutely right. A lot of people are just saying, they'll never work together. There'll be another crisis. Even if they get this one sorted, there'll be another one down the line in 6 months. And what the politicians haven't really realised in Northern Ireland is how many people are now completely and utterly emotionally detached from the NI Assembly.
What's happened in the last 24 hours to the DUP is breathtaking. But what could happen now in the next 24 hours could equally be as important or breathtaking, because I want to ask you this. Who will be the new leader? How will the new leader be chosen? And what will the new leader do to shore up the unstable situation we have in regards to Stormont and the executive now?
Well, I think we'll find out in the next few days. The DUP officers will set out the terms and conditions of the selection or election of the next new leader. My gut instinct, Cormac, would be that there will not be another open election. I think they've got their fingers very badly burned with the Donaldson put showdown. I also think it's probably more likely than not to be Geoffrey Donaldson who will be the new leader. And as I say, what I said in my answer to the first question, there's a whole range of pressure groups. The vast majority of him outside his party, even if he manages to rally the 28 MLAs behind him and the parliamentary team behind him and bring some sort of coherence to the message, mm-hmm. he still has to persuade an awful lot of those other people that the DUP is worth voting for and that the Assembly is worth saving. Poots took the risk in saving the Assembly. That's what he was doing last night when he signed up to bringing in a First Minister and a Deputy First Minister. He was, in effect, saving and rebooting the executive.
Let me bring
in...
Say with me, Alex Kane, if you don't mind. Let me bring in Simon Hoare at this point, because your government, Brandon Lewis, is doubling down on this commitment today, this afternoon, to bring in a cultural package, a balanced cultural package, as he calls it, Irish language legislation, among the items by October, if it's not done before then. Now, Brandon Lewis has also been talking about the timing of statements that could exacerbate the situation. I wonder, was that a wise commitment to give today in the middle of all of this, Simon?
Well, I think the key thing here is, and good evening, and thank you for having me on the programme. I think the key thing is that this was a cultural package which was agreed in New Decade, New Approach. All the parties signed up to it. And it's key that these documents, you know, they have a history of just being agreed and signed and being used as a stepping stone to continue something or to resurrect something. I think with a lot of people saying, well, we're not actually committed to delivering it. And I think the government has been right this week to say there is going to be a cultural package. It is either going to be delivered by Stormont or it's going to be delivered by Westminster. But rest assured, it is going to be delivered, and it's going to be delivered by the end of the year. And if in some way that is helpful, I do actually sincerely hope that it is actually dealt with by Stormont. It's a devolved matter, and it should remain so. But if they're unwilling or unable or something happens, and in Westminster doing it, it takes another contentious issue off the table, which has always been used as a threat to collapse the executive, etc., then amen to that. But as I say, I hope that the executive will continue. Well,
but
I think
Mr. Poots
took a great decision this week.
Sorry to cut across you, but I wonder, does it signify, in the middle of a crisis, when there is so much political instability within the DUP and Stormont, does it signify that the Tory party has lost patience with the DUP?
No, I think what it signifies is that when people sign up to things, we expect them to be honoured, and there shouldn't be a crisis. If this was something which, you know, had been sprung on Stormont by Brandon Lewis or by the Prime Minister or somebody else, then I could see it quite rightly described as an issue of crisis. But this was something which has been agreed to for what, the last 14 years at least, certainly reconfirmed in New Decade, New Approach. So I fail to see why anybody should define as a crisis people saying, when are you going to start delivering?
So if you sign up to it, you better implement it. You're beginning to sound a little bit like Emmanuel Macron around the Northern Ireland Protocol, Simon. But I'll come back to you maybe on
a second. Let me just answer that. I'm hopefully beginning to sound like a politician who actually believes seriously in the rule of law. And when a country does sign up to something, if you are a country which believes and respects the rule of law, you should damn well stick to it.
Yeah, I know you're on record as saying that as well in relation to that issue.
Exactly.
Can I ask you, Alex Kane, to respond to exactly what Simon Hoare has pointed out? Because this is nothing new. This was agreed by the parties in the North, this Irish language legislation, as far back as 2006, and it has sat there without implementation for all these years. How long will it take to implement what was agreed?
Well, I've said I wouldn't disagree anyway, I think, with what Simon said. I think he's right. There was a general understanding that this had been agreed, and I know the DUP tried to nuance it, saying that in 2006, after the St Andrews agreement, it was a commitment by the British government, by Tony Blair's government, to do it. But I think there was a very clear understanding across all parties in Northern Ireland that the DUP had accepted that it was coming, and it kept finding ways of saying no. And I think that's why it got to this point where Sinn Féin said, look, if you want the government back up, if you want the executive back up, then we need some firm deal which doesn't just involve the DUP, but we have some backup in the event that they let us down again. But set against that, Cormac, and there's a unionist perception here, which is that Sinn Féin, they would argue that Sinn Féin threatened to bring down the executive
And the government responds by saying, OK, we'll make sure no matter what happens, even if the executive's not there or whatever's going on, you will still get the legislation on the Irish language. But in the event of the protocol, which is really, really spooky unionism at the minute, unionism says that we want the protocol done away with, we want changes to it and so on. The union say, well, we're just ignored the concerns we have over something which is hugely politically and psychologically important to us, a new demarcation line between
which is a very fair point, but it surely goes back to the promises made by political leaders in unionism and the messages sold to constituents as well. And that's something that you picked up on, Simon Hoare, when you chaired, I think, a recent meeting or hearing, and you had the Loyalist Communities Council before you, and sure. I think I forget the name of the person, but they basically said that violence was still a tool or an option on the table if everything else doesn't work, and I think you were extremely dismayed by it.
I was. The young man was called Mr. Keyes. I think the point that Alex Kane was making a moment or so ago is the right one, which is this generational split, that those who went through the troubles, who lived it, who saw the blood on the streets, who saw the tears, and all the rest of it, have vowed perfectly properly never to go back to those days again. We have to be careful of the younger generation, for whom the Good Friday Agreement is a sort of historical document, and the troubles are something of which they hear around the kitchen table or at school in a history lesson almost. We need to try and find a way of reminding them of the horrors, of the importance of the Good Friday Agreement, and that if you want jobs, if you want stable political institutions, if you want investment, if you want hope, you need political stability, and that comes from peace.
But there seems to be some kind of a disconnect here, because we're...
You're right.
But let me read you this. We're reading reports online that the Loyalist Communities Council suggests the new DUP leader should pull down the power-sharing assembly and executive, and has this message for Dublin: until they accept and repair the damage they have created, Irish government ministers and officials are no longer welcome in Northern Ireland. What's your take on that?
Appalling on both counts. I am fed up to the back teeth of people, irrespective of what stripe they adhere to, of deploying bully boy tactics and blackmail. It might have worked in the past, but I think Northern Ireland and the vast majority of the people who live there want to turn the page and want to look to the future. These sort of coded terms of, well, if you do this, there may be violence, or if you do this, we're going to retaliate by doing such and such. You're not welcome. The island of Ireland has a common travel area. It has a huge amount of shared interests. You can do a huge amount of things together. I'd say very clearly to the LCC, stop this nonsense and stop it now.
OK, Simon Hoare, MP for the Tory party, and Alex Kane, writer and commentator. Thank you both very much indeed.